Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this biweekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you live from Boston, Massachusetts, on January 24th, 2021. And it's a nice night in Boston. Temperature at air time is 23 degrees. I want to welcome you all to another broadcast, a second one of the new year, and I hope you're all doing well dealing with the problems in the country, whether they be medical with the coronavirus or political with the election issues and transfer of the White House to the Democrat, or whatever the issue might be, financial, medical, political, financial. There's certainly a lot to contend with, but just remember that God is above everything. So stay close to Him, and that should serve you well. So again, I want to welcome you to the show and let you know that the chat room is open. Let me see if there's anyone in there. Again, we're running very late. A lot of people say I shouldn't have the show on so late, but it's what I have to do other things, so this is a little bit of a way that I can use a couple of my 3 V's, my voice and my valuables, my time. So you can also come in and partake. Don't think that there's nothing you can do if you're getting discouraged with the news of the day. Just continue to plug on, do whatever you can, and trust in God. And God we trust is the motto of our country. So the call-in number, if you'd like to call in and talk about the different issues, is 914-803-4379. 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, give me your first name and what state you're calling from, or if you're outside the country, your first name and what country you're calling from. Maybe you can give me a weather report, too. We've had a wonderful winter here as far as rough weather. It hasn't been rough at all. I should keep my fingers crossed because we still got quite a ways to go. But the forecast for the upcoming week doesn't look too bad, but we'll take it a day at a time. But we've only had one significant storm, and that was in snowstorm. That was toward the end of December. So I'm going to give you the latest on the coronavirus pandemic, as I have been since it's been tabulated. And you can see the figures on Worldometers. Let me get the exact address of it. It's www.worldometers.com. Worldometers. worldometers.info/coronavirus. www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. And here they are for the figures I took off earlier today. The total infected at a global scale is 99,654,982, almost 100 million now, up about 10 million from 2 weeks ago. The active 25,890,084. Oh, 34, I should say. The number of deaths worldwide, 2,136,090. That's up from 1,942,396. And the recovered, again, a big figure of 71,628,858. So it seems like a large, very large amount, maybe 70%, of those infected get recovered. All right, on the USA figures, the total infected is 25,670,269. That's up from about 23 million. And the active case is 9,862,028. The number of deaths in the USA, 428,880. That's up from 383,242. And the recovered is, again, a large amount, 65,379,361. There's still, as has been the case in the last two broadcasts, the same number of countries that have over 1 million cases. That is 18 countries. Leading, of course, by far is the USA, followed by India. Those are the only two countries that have more than 10 million. India at about 10,688,356, and the USA with 25,670,269. And then it goes down from there: Brazil, Russia, the UK, France, Spain, Italy, and Turkey, and Germany round out the top 10. All of them with over 2 million cases. The country with the number of deaths is actually, Brazil is higher than India, and they are second behind us with 216,475. And I understand, doing a little research, is that there is some indication that there's some possibly new, more serious strains of the virus happening in the UK and maybe in Brazil. So it's almost like this is going to be something we have to live with for some time. And there's a lot of discussion of whether the vaccine is a good way to deal with it. We are naturally restricted by certain stores that we must wear our masks if we go in those stores, so you have to conform to the requirements of the store, or maybe you can shop online. And of course, social distancing when you go in stores, washing your hands, you know the routine, or as Joe Biden would say, you know the thing. Alright, so I want to get immediately on to the big topic, and that is the political subject of the both the storming of the Capitol on January 6th and then the inauguration on January 20th, and now tomorrow we're going to deal with the article of impeachment being sent to the Senate for a possible trial in the Senate of President Trump for a alleged violation that warrants impeachment, and which the House has already voted on. But let's first start with the review of the January 6th in D.C. Again, as I explained in the last show, I went to the Capitol on the 6th. I went with three other people from my section of Boston. We went down by Amtrak on Tuesday morning, got settled in. It was a little delay, but we got to D.C. in the afternoon and then got settled in and got ready for the main day, which was January 6th, Wednesday, with the rally for the president and for the concern that we had about the voting that took place in the election of the president and vice president and the other offices as well. And we went down there to support the Congress to challenge the vote and to have it investigated thoroughly so we could be satisfied that the vote was legitimate. We did feel that there was enough indication in the research that we did that there was enough questions in it that it should be investigated, and especially in the six battleground states, possibly even seven if you count New Mexico, that there was enough evidence that those certifications should be challenged, and we were supporting the need for one senator and one member of the House to do that, the challenging in that process. And of course we all know that Josh Hawley stood up as the first senator to say that he would challenge it. There were a large number of members of the House that indicated they would challenge the certification of those states. That's why we went there. And I believe as I talked to people there and watched people there, that was the main reason, probably the only reason that they went. There was no indication that they were there for any other purpose other than to express their concern for the voting, the irregularities that they believe occurred from all the news and the indications from other sources. They were satisfied to such an extent that they made the trip to Washington to voice their concerns and to have this thoroughly looked into so that we could be satisfied of the integrity of the vote. Now, the president was there at the Ellipse at giving a speech at 12 o'clock, approximately 12 o'clock noontime. And then the speech ran for about an hour. And around 1 p.m., the lawmakers were gathering in the Capitol to certify the election of Joe Biden. And we were there singing God Bless America and encouraging each other and expecting to have good results from the Congress. And we were praying and watching what transpired. Went to my, what I saw, and as I reported before, to my left, and I was not in the main area where the majority of the rally was, that is where the president gave his speech. I was over to the left of where, I mean, to the left of where I was, which was another section of the Capitol. There was all of a sudden a rush of people through the barricades, the steel barricades, toward the Capitol steps. And no one that I could see from the area where I was stormed those steps. one gentleman from Pennsylvania commented that this is not good, this is not what we're here for, words to that effect, and he said it will be bad for our objective to have a good and fair election and hopefully a re-election of the president. But that isn't what happened. Apparently things broke out, and the big question, I think there's no question at this point that there was a storming of people toward the Capitol. And it looks like it was in at least two sections, the one I was in and then the main one where the president gave, or the one where the main part of the Capitol is located, where the scaffolding is for the inauguration. We weren't at that point. So there was a storming of the Capitol. There's nobody that will argue that. The big question here now, ladies and gentlemen, is was it a spontaneous event, or was it something that was planned? And if it was spontaneous, what exactly triggered it? Was it just the emotions of the people that were worked up in a frenzy from their own history of being dissatisfied with the way our government was serving them? There's probably, for every person, there's different things going on in their being. But if it was spontaneous, it seems unlikely that it would happen in both sections of the area at approximately the same time. So to me, as I do my Columbo work, you know, the TV show Columbo I like very much, and he does his due diligence to try to get at the truth, and that's what I've been doing ever since the January 6th event. If it was spontaneous, I don't see how it would have happened in both places at approximately the same time. So it leads me to lean toward the view that it was planned. And then if that was true, the question is who planned it and what was their plan? If it was just planned by certain extremists to the extreme right crowd or militant people, Trump supporters, but wanted to take that type of an action and they planned it. What was their plan? The plan was just to march into the Capitol and nothing happened, but they wait for the additional troops to come to remove them. It doesn't sound like a very good strategy to accomplish an objective, but this all has to be looked into further. To me, at the present time, it seems like they were planning an event, and what their ultimate objective was, I can't say. And I'd like you to call in and let me know your thoughts. And let me just see if we have anyone in the chat room, because I'm looking for more views on this subject. Oh, we do have someone now. Let's see what he says. Hello.
Oh man, you're a mildly. I don't know how you said it. How you know it was you? That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Hello.
Pretty good.
Yeah, hold on a minute. I got to get your first name and what city and state you're calling from.
My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm calling from dark desert, Arizona, Mesa. It's real bad.
I can't hear you too well. What state are you calling from?
Hear me now.
You don't want to say? All right, he hung up. All right, so that was somebody that didn't have too much to say. But anyway, I want to continue on and talk about whether this rally was planned, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. I hear different things on the internet that There was some Antifa members within the crowd that were inciting the violence, and there's all kinds of stories, so I won't use time for that purpose. I want to use it for a good purpose. So I do have a story about what an interesting view on the matter. That I read recently. I can find it, which I can't. Always have trouble with some of these things. All right, well, maybe I can tell you about it from my memory. But it was the Russian President Gorbachev had said things that he believes there was forces behind it. He didn't go into any detail, but he believes it bodes ill for our country, and we can look into that some more as to just exactly what he had in mind. Let me see here. There's a number of stories saying that it was planned in advance. Here we go. Soviet President Gorbachev. See if I can bring that up here. It's on e-militia.com. He says, former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev said that he knows who planned the attack on the U.S. Capitol and that the incident bodes ill for America's future. The storming of the Capitol was clearly designed in advance, and it is clear by whom, Gorbachev last week told an interviewer for a Russian media. And while he didn't identify the plotters, the renowned statesman said that he senses machinations at work. It will take a little time, and we will figure it out why it was really done, Gorbachev said. A pivotal international figure during the latter years of the Cold War, Gorbachev in 91 was briefly held captive during a failed attempt to overthrow him in the Soviet Union. The Soviet communist coup organizers or conspirators favored a hard line over Gorbachev's liberalized approach to running the country. Although Gorbachev faced down the plotters, the incident is widely viewed as having ushered in the demise of the Soviet Union. So we can look into that some more. But the world is full of these kind of situations, and it's just horrible to have the people have to deal with this. It's probably been going on for time immemorial. We see all kinds of problems in government relations, and all we can do is continue to as constitutionalists, to try to do our best to make our country become a more perfect union. So I do want to play a little clip of the president's speech at the Ellipse, and let you, because I want to talk a little about the impeachment. So let's play that right now. If I can find that piece. Okay, here we go.
Gathered together in the heart of our nation's capital for one very, very basic and simple reason, democracy. You know, most candidates on election evening, of course, this thing goes on so long, they still don't have any idea what's supposed to. We still have congressional seats under review. They have no idea. They've totally lost control. They've used the pandemic as a way of defrauding the people in a proper election. But you know, when you see this and when you see what's happening, number one, they all say, sir, we'll never let it happen again. I said, that's good, but what about 8 weeks ago? You know, they try and get you to go. They said, sir, in 4 years, you're guaranteed. I said, I'm not interested right now. Do me a favor. Go back 8 weeks. I want to go back 8 weeks. Let's go back 8 weeks. Go back, and we want to get this right, because we're going to have somebody in there that should not be in there, and our country will be destroyed, and we're not going to stand for that. For years, Democrats have gotten away with election fraud and weak Republicans, and that's what they are. There's so many weak Republicans, and we have great ones. Jim Jordan and some of these guys, they're out there fighting. The House guys are fighting. But it's incredible. Many of the Republicans, I helped them get in. I helped them get elected. I helped Mitch get elected. I could name 24 of them, let's say. I won't bore you with it. And then all of a sudden you have something like this. And it's like, maybe I'll talk to the president sometime later. No, it's amazing. The weak Republicans, they're pathetic Republicans. And that's what happens. If this happened to the Democrats, there'd be hell all over the country going on. There'd be hell all over the country. But just remember this. You're stronger. You're smarter. You've got more going than anybody. And they try and demean everybody having to do with us. And you're the real people. You're the people that built this nation. You're not the people that tore down our nation. The weak Republicans, and that's it. I really believe it. I think I'm going to use the term the weak Republicans. You got a lot of them, and you got a lot of great ones, but you got a lot of weak ones. They turned a blind eye, even as Democrats enacted policies that chipped away our jobs, weakened our military, threw open our borders, and put America last. Did you see the other day where Joe Biden said, I want to get rid of the America First policy? What's that all about? Get rid of. How do you say, I want to get rid of America first? Even if you're going to do it, don't talk about it, right? Unbelievable what we have to go through. What we have to go through, and you have to get your people to fight. And if they don't fight, we have to primary the hell out of the ones that don't fight. Primary them. We're going to let you know who they are. I could already tell you, frankly. But this year, using the pretext of the China virus and the scam of mail-in ballots, Democrats attempted the most brazen and outrageous election theft. And there's never been anything like this. The pure theft in American history. Everybody knows it. That election, our election, is over at 5 in the evening. We're leading Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia by hundreds of thousands of votes. And then late in the evening or early in the morning, boom, these explosions of bullshit. And all of a sudden, it started to happen. Don't forget when Romney got beat. Romney, please. Did you see his? I wonder if he enjoyed his flight in last night. But when Romney got beat, you know, he stands up like you're more difficult. Well, I'd like to congratulate the victor. The victor. Who is the victor, Mitch? I'd like to congratulate. They don't go and look at the facts. Now, I don't know. He got slaughtered, probably. Maybe it was okay. Maybe it was. That's what happened. But we look at the facts. And our election was so corrupt that in the history of this country, we've never seen anything like it. You can go all the way back. You know, America is blessed with elections all over the world. They talk about our elections. You know what the world says about it? They said we don't have free and fair elections. But you know what else? We don't have a free and fair press. Our media is not free. It's not fair. It suppresses thought. It suppresses speech. And it's become the enemy of the people. It's become the enemy of the people. It's the biggest problem we have in this country. No third world countries would even attempt to do what we caught them doing. And you'll hear about that in just a few minutes. Republicans are constantly fighting like a boxer with his hands tied behind his back. It's like a boxer. And we want to be so nice. We want to be so respectful of everybody, including bad people. And we're going to have to fight much harder. And Mike Pence is going to have to come through for us. And if he doesn't, that will be a sad day for our country. Because you're sworn to uphold our Constitution. But it's up to Congress to confront the egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down anyone you want, but I think right here we're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections, but whether or not they stand strong for our country. Our country has been under siege for a long time, far longer than this four-year period. We've set it on a much greater course, I thought it would be easy. We created the greatest economy in history. We rebuilt our military. We get you the biggest tax cuts in history, right? We got you the biggest regulation cuts. There's no president, whether it's 4 years, 8 years, or in one case more, got anywhere near the regulation cuts. It used to take 20 years to get a highway approved. Now we're down to two. I want to get it down to one, but we're down to two. And it may get rejected for environmental or safety reasons. We got it down to safety. We created Space Force. Look at what we did. Our military has been totally rebuilt. So we create Space Force, which by and of itself is a major achievement for an administration. And with us, it's one of so many different things.
Okay, well, he goes on with a list of his many accomplishments, and I'm running out of time, so I just want to touch base. I'm in the non-live portion of the show now. Won't have time to go over the financial statistics, but things are pretty much the same. The averages were up slightly from 2 weeks ago, except the Dow was down. Gold is closed up from 2 weeks ago, and silver also up slightly. But I want to talk about the impeachment trial they have. As you know, the House voted to impeach the president, and I have received indication that they will be sending it to the Senate for a trial tomorrow. It's not expected to actually begin the trial proceedings until February, but I think that there may be a motion to dismiss. I don't think there's any indication that he incited an insurrection, which is what it's all about, that he engaged in an insurrection or rebellion against the country. I don't think that happened, and you can hear from his speech that he indicated that we should protest peacefully and patriotically, not storm the Capitol. So we'll see how that plays out. I know that he has quite a legal team put together to defend him in this attack by the those that have not in any way worked with the president for the past 4 years, and yet he got many, many things accomplished. He's not perfect, and we certainly are satisfied with him over the previous administration, and based on the fact that the current president was the vice president under the previous administration, that we certainly don't want to go down that road. But I urge you to do your due diligence and separate the wheat from the chaff and to determine exactly who is worthy of your vote. I see that the time is running out here, but I have some time, so let me give you the figures on the Dow. The Dow closed at 30,996.98, down from 2 weeks ago. The Nasdaq was up to 13,543.06, and that was up from 2 weeks ago. And the S&P also up at 3,841.47. Gold closed the week at 1855.50, up from slightly from 2 weeks ago, and silver at 2548 an ounce, also up. Bitcoin was actually down from 2 weeks ago. It's at it's over 32,000 now. It was over 38,000, so it moves in very volatile amounts, and we need to watch it. It may be being pushed as a currency that will be utilized in the future, as we see the dollar will probably come under attack as the new administration is expected to continue the low interest rates, and the stimulus package, I think, looks like it's going to go through, which will be an additional money being sent out, I think, to increase the $600 that was already sent out by another $1,400. That's for a single person, and the corresponding amounts for a married couple. So we, as far as I'm concerned, our financial situation is not looking good. I don't see how it can be anywhere but disruptive to have a financial situation run like and have the president's coming back here to have a financial situation in such dire straits, and we need to continue to get the best people elected. It's the country we have with all its problems. It's still better than any other place, certainly, that I would want to be. But I certainly know that we have our work cut out for us, and I encourage you to tune in to the different platforms where you can get information. Be careful about supporting the big tech companies, as they don't seem to be serving us in our best interest with it. For example, banning Parler, the small competitor of Facebook, and they want to ban them. All this banning going on is not what America is all about. We have freedom of speech, and when they start talking about hate speech, the question then becomes, who's going to determine what is hate speech? And I think it's we, the people, that are in charge and not the government. We have to let them know what we want and support those candidates that are out there doing the job. There are many, many people, ladies and gentlemen, that you can support, and you can do so with your time and your money. And then at voting time, you can vote for the ones that serve you best. And when you find out that they no longer are serving you in your best interest, you then have to vote them out in the primary, and then vote the new candidate in the general election. Liz Cheney would be a perfect example that comes to mind. There are already movements to remove her from her position in the Republican Party and the position she holds in the Congress. I think she's second only to Congressman McCarthy. And, of course, we have to look at the role of Mitch McConnell as to whether he's serving us well. My own view is I think we need to find a new senator from Kentucky. I want to give you the approval ratings, and this is the first one for the Democratic President Joe Biden. His approval ratings approval rating is 50.5, and his disapproval is 41.7. I have a sense that that's going to reverse itself in the days and weeks ahead. And there was already some reporting going on that people are starting to regret that they have voted for him. One of the first executive orders, I understand, that he put in was to make the 11 million or so illegal immigrants to become legal in the country. And this will only encourage more people coming from other countries. I understand there's already a caravan on its way from Guatemala, and they're all chanting that they're pro-Biden. So the view is that the Democrats are just trying to dilute the system, where they've lost so many states that they want to get more people that they can put into their camp and be future voters for Democrats. And there'll be a lot of other things that they will try. You've all heard them all. But we shouldn't get discouraged. We continue to pray and use your 3 V's, your voice, your valuables, and your vote. So that's about it for this broadcast. I'd love you to come on next time and talk about what was really more details about what was behind the siege of the Capitol. So good night, everyone. God bless you. And as I say, I'll end with my song that could be expressed in words, but I'll express it in music. Here we go.